Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Overs, unders, spreads, lines, favorites, dogs, we love them all. Because we love the action. This is Cyclone Fanatics Action Fanatics Podcast, presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Your weekly look at the games and lines we love. Listen in, take notes, and put a little action in play at the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wild Rose Casino and Resort in Jefferson, Clinton, and Emmitsburg. Visit wildroseresorts.com for more info.
Must be 21 or older. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Let's do this!
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams and Todd Kirk.
What is up? Welcome to this week's Action Fanatics Podcast here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Of course, we're always presented by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wild Rose Casino all over the state, specifically our friends in Jefferson. My name is Chris Williams, joined as always by Todd Kirk. And I know that I'm speaking for Todd here, but I know he agrees. We got a juicy set of games this week. I'm ready to roll.
Tons. Both leagues. By the way, Big Ten's back.
Big Ten is back.
Chris, the Mountain West is back, which means that it's not going to happen to me or you, I know. But if you want to get that tasty late action and watch football to midnight, you can.
You're damn right you can, Todd.
With action.
I have a lot of thoughts on like the leagues coming back, and we can kind of start. Should we start there? I feel like we should start.
Don't you think that's kind of the news of the week, right?
Yes.
You've got the Big Ten starting.
I absolutely think it's the news of the week. And, you know, I'm going to be kind of conservative here. I caution people. Just to chill out a little bit on these leagues that are returning. Take you back to about a month ago when these other leagues that have been playing were just starting. I mean, you just don't know, Todd, how all these teams are going to react, especially the Big Ten. How are they going to, you know, react to these empty stadiums? How, you know, some teams are better at getting themselves up without that energy of the crowd than others. And, I continue to crunch these numbers, Todd, on road teams right now. And it's in the NFL too. Like when there's not crowds, the road teams right now are, this is in the NFL this year. The road teams are 50-39-2 against the number. And it's still a trend in college too, where it's just it seems to be a pretty significant advantage, especially if you're a road team getting double digit points. So, you know, I'm gonna look into this for my locks play on KXNO on Friday afternoon. But I think one of my locks might be to play every road team in the Big Ten.
Interesting. Wow.
And just blindly play them and see what happens. And, you know, I'm just going off of what we've seen in these other leagues, and it seems to be a thing where, like, I know Ohio State's better than Nebraska, but like literally in front of no one. I mean, are they going to beat them by four touchdowns? I don't know. I don't know, but I'm thinking about just blindly playing road teams no matter what in the Big Ten this week. Maybe I should do it in the Mountain West too, like a unit. But you have to, if you're going to do that, you have to be consistent with your units, right? We're not trying to go undefeated. We're assuming, we're trusting our data.
Yeah, you're trusting whatever the 61.5%. So, you know, win six, lose four, you end up, you know, plus a couple units, plus 1.8 units.
What do you think?
Oh man, you know that sweeping bet all do this. It just causes me so much pause because, dude, how am I gonna get down on Rutgers?
Well, I mean,
on the road plus 12. It's like betting the Jets. How do you force yourself to do it? At some point, you're gonna have to, right? And
you're playing the system. It's a system bet, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's just. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you one way or another.
Michigan State's no spring chicken this year, man. Come on.
Dude, no, that's a very unique way to look at it. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I just don't. Man, you threw me a boomerang there, and it'll come back to you probably Friday night, and I'll be like, you know, oh, it just hit me, Chris. You know, it's let me watch the boomerang go away for a little bit. That's not against it, not for it.
I'm not there yet. This is why I kind of like recording this early Thursday morning we do, because I'm not there yet. I'm not even advising to our listeners to do that. What I'm saying is this is a theory that I'm thinking about, and I'm going to continue to research and
I love it.
Watch how things play out between now and Saturday morning. Line
that's
movements.
I mean, that's why this podcast is so, that's why I love it. I mean, we do kind of throw some stuff out there, but this one is, listen, week eight? That's a zinger. That well, one was a zing, zang, zoom, man.
maybe if we, if it works, maybe we do that with the Mac and the Pac-12 coming up. I mean,
did you say Mac? Did you say
Mr. That Mac? For our listeners here, Todd's like texting me. He's like, Todd's literally like compiling a list of Mac insiders that he can be leaning on. We got three already. And this is why I think too, and we'll just talk about it right now. I think I'm going to open up the Action Fanatics podcast feed, and we can start doing some stuff like that on it.
That'd be awesome.
We may as well. So if you guys haven't subscribed to that, search us out at Action or the Action Fanatics podcast feed.
It's on there. It's still on. It's still out there. Yep.
It's still there. I'm just trying to get more people to understand that it's there. If you like what this is, at Action Fanatics on Twitter, everything we do is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wild Rose Casino in Jefferson. So I was thinking about that. Other trends.
Here's what you just did. You forced me tonight as I'm sitting here watching the game, and I'm in a Discord tonight, by the way, too, for the listeners. I'm going to try this out. I know others are doing this. I think it's pretty cool. My kids do it all the time, Chris. Like, my boys are gamers, and I mean, their computer set up. Here I am on this dinky MacBook Air laptop. That's what I work on 24/7. And they got three freaking screens. They built their own computers. They game on this Discord. It looks pretty cool. So I'm going to try that tonight. Pardon me. I'll put that on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to research it tonight. When I'm watching the game.
Bounce it off. I won't do it until that's one of the things Todd and I have also discussed doing is like really playing up if we both have a feel on a game, going more units on that. And see how that kind of plays out for us. A couple other notes that I made just overall right now. I feel like, Todd, and you're more the NFL guy than I am, we've really liked overs. Last week, the unders went 10-4. Overs are still 47-42-2 on the year, but I do feel like the odds makers are catching up to that trend.
Yeah, it's funny because this week, I think it was the first time that I saw let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 7 games, so half, more than half, Chris, are in the 40s. That's the first time all year.
Really?
I don't know if I don't know if it's that they're catching up. It's that the season in the NFL kind of seems to me to be at cruising altitude now, if that makes sense. I think they've kind of been through this. They've seen teams test positive.
Yeah.
It's always going to be that outlier. But I think we've seen enough that it's at cruising altitude now where they're settling back into some normalcy.
The the Dogs were 9-5 last week in the NFL.
That was a good week.
That was kind of interesting.
Except for Denver.
Yeah, and I got burned on that one. I played New England outright. I got kind of my mind changed watching the Titans come out on Thursday night and or whenever they did after their COVID thing, and they were so hot. Okay, but should we start with some college picks?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm gonna be really boring this week, Todd, but it's been a long time since I've loved a slate of games in the Big 12 as much as I do this week.
Oh, I know.
My and Bloom's pod Sunday night, I came out of the gates and was salivating over that Texas Baylor line. To me, like, that's my favorite play of the week. I put 5 units on Texas when I got it. This was stupid. When it dropped below 10, I pounced. I got it at 9.5, and you can get it at 8.5 on DraftKings right now, I believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I'll probably do, and I had an experience last week where I played West Virginia, right? And I got it, I think, at 22.5. And then it dropped to 21 right before kick. And I actually put more down. I think I put a couple more units down on
so smart.
Which was good because I ended up breaking even on the game.
Right.
I didn't break even, but I did a hell of a lot better than I would have had I not jumped in on that. So I guess what I'll probably do with this Texas game, if this would get down to a touchdown, I don't believe that it will. I'll do more. I might even do more if it drops to 8 and get by a little bit of insurance there. But I just love this game. I don't think Baylor's very good. I feel better about this after watching West Virginia, Kansas last week. I don't think West Virginia is very good. And Baylor took them to Baylor and then went to overtime. But Tom Herman's coaching for his life right now. Sam Ellinger has had a week to hear everybody talk about losing the Red River rivalry. He's still a Heisman caliber type guy. He's not in the Heisman race, but he's that type of a chippy player. I think Texas steamrolls Baylor, who's still having COVID problems. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was a circle play right out of the gate for me. It opened at 9.5. It's down to 8.5. This is as we like to say in the gambling industry, this is a spot. This is a team. That's well underperformed. It's hard to believe we are saying that. I don't know if it's just Texas or if it's Tom Herman, but that program hasn't been right for a long time. I mean, since Mack Brown, and that's a long time. They just can't get it right with those players. And I can't believe what you said is true, Chris. He's coaching for his life. If he has a crap year, he's gone, and I don't think they'd have a second thought about saying goodbye to him. If they lose this game, I would say he's probably gone. I mean, you're going to have Iowa State coming in. He's going to lose that team, blah, blah, blah. Baylor is not as good as people think. I've seen some rankings where Baylor is up there, and I'm not sure why they're getting that kind of love. The totals come down a little bit too. I was looking at that earlier on to try to go under. It was 63.
I played the under.
Yeah, I like the under in that game as well, but I'm with you 100% on Texas.
Okay, yeah, I've played the under in that as well. The pick will be Texas, but I've already invested into the under there because I figured it would come down. I think those two teams have hit the under like 7 years in a row or something like that. I really like Kansas State. I think they're laying 18 over Kansas. I'll give that
out. It's up to 20 now.
Okay. Well, Daddy got it at 18 earlier in the week. I would play that anything up to 21. And another one I was in on early this week. I should have posted these, but if you follow me on Action Fanatics, you guys will get the alerts when I do. But I played TCU when that thing was at 7 because I thought it would drop below a touchdown at home. I'll give that out as a pick. TCU plus 7 against Oklahoma for a ton of different reasons.
Bounce. 6.5 on DraftKings now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot more at 7, obviously. But maybe you consider buying that, or if you're I don't know. Like, I just, Todd, like the whole Gary Patterson and that secondary and against the freshman quarterback, Rattler's a good player. He's going to keep getting better, but Patterson's going to screw with him a lot, I think. Max Duggan is it. Don't you think Patterson utilizes Duggan in the run, too, and really kind of string this game along? Like, he's going to want to shorten this game, and that makes me like getting 7 points in Fort Worth.
Yeah, there's a couple guys in the Big 12 that you look at Matt Campbell and John Haycock, and you look at Patterson in terms of teams that can scheme up probably a defense. I predicted that TCU would – there was a spot for Kansas State the last time that was happening, and thankfully we got that one right. I think this is definitely a bounce back for TCU. I think Duggan is probably – I don't know, man. It's hard to say it because it's Brocktober, but he's probably the most dynamic quarterback in the Big 12. I really like this kid. I think he has a bounce back week here. Oklahoma's not scaring anybody at all. You know, at 7, I love TCU.
Those will be my three picks for the week. I do like the other two Big 12 games as well. I like Texas Tech getting points at home against West Virginia. I'm already invested on that game. I think like 2.5 units. And I'm taking Iowa State in the points. I got it at 3.5. Reason being, I mean, here's some trends for you. Campbell, 19-9-1 as a dog during his time at Iowa State. The visitor in this series has covered 6 straight. So the visiting team does well in Iowa State, Oklahoma State games. And here's another trend to probably blindly play, and I like this from a football standpoint too. Iowa State is 10-0 on the under as an underdog of 7 or fewer in its last 10. So whenever the Cyclones are a small underdog, what does that tell you? That tells you this is, we know this about Matt Campbell. Just like you said about, we just talked about with Patterson, shorten the game.
Yep.
You know, this is a strategy. This is not Matt doing it because he wants to hit the under. This is very deliberate in what they're doing. So they're gonna run that clock down to 0 a lot. And I like the under here as well. But those are my Big 12 reads, and I feel really strongly. I haven't had a lot of conviction about really much of anything this year until this week. Now I feel like I finally have a decent read on these Big 12 teams.
And you were on this, like you said, I don't know when you guys tape your pod, but I got the, you know, we're talking Sunday night lines come out.
Yeah.
You were looking at the Big 12, and I'm not one to try to start fading Chris in the Big 12. I think that's, you know, to those out there that may be new, I know we've got a lot of people that definitely know who you are. We're getting new listeners every week, so thank you to those folks. I hear from you.
Yeah.
Chris knows the Big 12. That's why we're blessed to have him here. And I told you flat out the one game that I was like, was Cyclones.
That was my lowest unit play for what it's worth.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, it's not to say that, you know, I've heard, here's why. I've heard so much talk, and you guys have talked about it, and other people have talked about it. You've talked about it on the radio. Like, oh, this is the biggest game in Iowa State history. It conceivably it could be.
Yeah, you know? I won't go there. But
good, good, because I remember us losing to freaking Missouri on field goals, you know, to win the Big 12 North. However, it say it is, but you know what? You win this game, and guess what next week is, Chris? It becomes the biggest game in the history of Iowa State football.
I mean, you still get that game at Texas on Black Friday. Like, you're
there. You go. Then that one becomes the big. I'm like, for the rest of the year, it's a step up. Like, every game is the biggest because. Well,
for what it's worth, they got Kansas next week. So, I mean, take that back right now.
Well, if it weren't for freaking Puka Williams returning a freaking kick and then deciding, oh, I'm done with the season, like, couldn't he have done that the week before?
Dude, I was so pissed because that was one of my locks of the week on KXNO2. And I, for our listeners, like Todd and I, we don't just come on here and just bullshit. Like, we do a lot of research. When I give those picks out on Friday afternoon, my heart and soul is in those picks and I'm hanging on every play. And God, when he did, that was one of the worst beats of my life. And, you know, and I probably had worse. Like, I've lost on like a junk half court shot in basketball, stuff like that before. But I mean, come on,
that was brutal.
Well, and even like it, you know, in the first quarter, I had people like tweeting at me like, "Oh, great pick against Kansas." You know, I'm like, no, I'm totally fine with this. In fact, I doubled down. I played live. I did it. I did end up winning in that game because I was putting money down on West Virginia when Kansas had a 10-0 lead in that game.
Yeah.
But you stay with your, like, Kansas wasn't going to blow them out. Like, come on, guys. We nailed that game and totally got screwed by Puka Williams there. I don't know that. I still think Kansas sucks, and they're a lot worse now with their best player that quit the team earlier in the week.
Well, how about Notre Dame? They can't freaking score. The game's ends up 12-7. They can't score.
That was an ugly win, man.
They're going to kick a field goal, and you're like, oh my God, here we go. It's 9, and I had it 9.5. They're going to be 9. But at least they have the gumption to go for it, like do a fake field goal. And the guy's got road graders in front of him, and he cuts it to the left. I'm like, just follow the big uglies. Like, right there, two guys right there if you watch it.
What about our Florida State Seminoles? Feels like Mike Norvell's got that corner turn.
That's a tough game this week, man.
I'd probably stay away from them because I'm not quite ready to trust them off of a big win. We've yet to see them in this spot, but you know, we should have known, Todd. I feel dumb. I should have gone more with Mike. We both were impressed with how they played in South Bend the week before. That
second half, man, they made Notre Dame look pedestrian, and look what Notre Dame did against Louisville. Notre Dame is the most overrated team in the country right now.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I'd think that North Carolina would be right there too. So that's a couple of ACC teams in that category. All right.
We talked about North Carolina last week. I said, listen, man, they're 4. This is not a spot for them against Florida State. Yep. Florida State was 60%.
You were right.
I mean,
yep.
Things are starting to normalize with these teams that have played. You know, and same thing with the NFL.
Well, and okay, real quick, I just want to give a read on the Iowa game here real quick. I've been doing a lot of studying on this for KXNO, and then I want to get your picks. I just want to throw these trends out there. Kirk Ferentz as a favorite of 7 or fewer. 15-9-1 against the number. He's really good in this spot. Here's what I didn't realize, Todd, looking at this game. Purdue returned 17 starters, and they're really good at home as an underdog, 6-2 the last 2 years in Big Ten play as an underdog at home. So I think probably a lot of our listeners are, you know, they're local here, and they're probably wanting to maybe play the Iowa game. That's probably a stay away for me, my man. Like, unless you're just going to play all the road teams like I'm considering doing, I'm terrified of these Big Ten games this weekend. You're not going to see me doing much. I'll probably play something on that Friday night game just because I want some action. But, yeah, I'll hand it off to you with your picks. The Big Ten scares the living crap out of me.
Yeah, you know, to me it was really weird just kind of, pardon me, dialing into this and just seeing – all these teams playing each other first. I think that's probably the hardest part of it, right? You haven't had that three-game schedule leading into conference play. And we've seen it. We've seen it in the SEC. So we kind of got a taste of it. I think the SEC kind of went a little bit as expected. And 3-4 games in, you've got some teams that are surprising. Florida maybe isn't as good as people thought they were. And Kentucky and Arkansas have really surprised. And Tennessee overrated. So there's some things you can glean from that. There is one Big Ten team that I'm going to play, and that is Iowa. Hmm. I love them in this spot. Now, my only trepidation here, Chris, coming into the game has been, who the fuck is a quarterback?
Yeah.
And that's so huge because, Purdue had 17 returning starters. They've got Rondale Moore is back. I don't think the Purdue's quarterback is playing though, right? Brohm maybe not playing. Am I reading that right?
Well, the coach is Brohm.
The coach is Brohm.
Yeah.
He's not there or something.
Yeah. No, he has COVID. He has the Rona, so he's out. And his brother is taking over as the coach. So we got another Brohm sitting in there.
Okay, so, his brother isn't the coach. First game out of the gates, playing an Iowa team that is somewhat predictable, may not be that big of a deal. However, like you, I do like the trends. Brad Powers on Twitter, at Brad Powers 7, I've talked about him. He used to write for Phil Steele, but Iowa's 21-0 straight up and 17-3-1 against the spread as a road favorite since 2011. I like that. I like this spot for Iowa at Purdue.
I would encourage people, if they want to join you, to play it now.
Yeah.
It's down to 3, but the numbers are looking like that'll be back at 3.5 at some point.
Yeah, and if you haven't gotten on, so Iowa for me is a play. I would say that's probably a unit play, but I still want to bet on the Hawks here. It's the only Big Ten game I'm even considering. I'm with you on Texas. So, I was on that at the beginning. I think this is a blowout. This is one of those games that, Texas can hold Baylor to 10 points and, score 40 themselves. I also like the under there too. So I'll post the unit play on that, but I think Texas is more of a 2-unit play for me. I like the under in the Iowa State, Oklahoma State game. So that started at 54.5. It's at 52, I think now. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that one? There's Iowa Purdue. Shoot, Iowa Purdue's at 52. I mean, come on. Oklahoma State can play defense. That's probably their best side of the ball. I like the under in that game.
You read my column. It'll be up Friday at Cyclone Fanatic. But I'm really torn on this Cowboy team. You said their defense. I mean, their defensive numbers are good, and I agree with you. I think that they're much better defensively than what you think of with Mike Gundy. But they've played Tulsa, Kansas, and West Virginia, so maybe the two worst teams in the Big 12 and Tulsa. So my prediction is after 21 days off, they're going to have something up their sleeve offensively. I think they're going to play with more tempo. That would, by the way, I'm with you on the under. I've already played it. The only thing that concerns me about it is if they come out and, are really trying to screw up Iowa State's borderline elite defense with a ton of tempo. That number is at, you're right, Todd, it's down to 51.5. At some point, point would you consider a value play on the over?
Ooh, you're getting close. That's what I said. I mean, I said, it's come down 2.5, so that would be 3.5 points. You're looking at over a field goal. I think we probably lost the value in the under.
I would agree. We're on the same page there.
Yeah, I think maybe let's. I could better play these units somewhere else. And really, what I'm okay. So let's take that off. Losing 3.5 is quite a bit, and I've read a few articles about losing line values, opening line values on games as well as losing it on over-unders, and it just doesn't seem to work out very well. And 3.5 is too much. So if you, and I'm going to say this to people, if you're looking at, if you can go find an opening line, you know, let's say you had Army at 31 and you love Mercer and that's moved 4 points or more, don't bet Mercer. Get off, because you're not going to do it. They're not covering that first line. They do cover at a clip where you can make some money. It's like 54%. But if they're moving that much, the cover goes down to like 42%. So you got to be careful of those big line moves. So I'm off of that. I'll take those two units, though, Chris, and then I will put in another Big Ten game. I'm going to bet the over in the Penn State-Indiana game.
I like that play.
I like this Indiana team, and I like Penn State. And like you said, I don't know if Indiana's ever had a home field advantage of any kind whatsoever. But I think these two teams are going to score a lot of points in that. And that's at 58 right now.
Todd, that's another thing, too, I've been dissecting a lot on the radio.
59.
Is the difference, and it's hard to put it in like with numbers and data, but there's a big difference between Indiana's home field advantage and Penn State's. So, like, huge. I tend to believe that Iowa, Penn State, you know, these big stadiums, Michigan, they're going to have a harder time playing at home than Indiana and Purdue will.
Amen.
So Minnesota. That's just a theory. Again, I have no data to back that up. I know it impacted Iowa State, the team I cover the closest. Not a huge stadium, but a crazy crowd. Like, as far as crowd energy goes, Trice is up there. Like, there's more energy in Jack Trice Stadium than there is the Big House. The Big House, ask anybody who's been there, a lot of older fans, like, there's a ton of people, but it's not known for, like, a crazy atmosphere. Like, there's a lot that goes into all this, and that's another thing, like, with Iowa, like, I'm a little bit, again, I'm going to play them because they're the road team. Like, I think I'm going to do that. But, like, I mean, is Purdue going to be like shell shocked when they walk out there to no fans? They've been doing it for the last 40 years.
Yeah, welcome to West Lafayette.
Like, you know, like Illinois, like, okay. Yeah. Nobody's here. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Is that it for you in college?
I would say watch the Nebraska Ohio State game to that point, Chris. That's one of, you know, Wisconsin, Wisconsin's at home, aren't they? Or Illinois at Wisconsin. Yeah. Talk about, you know, Camp Randall gets pretty crazy too, right? So those are the two games in the Big Ten that you can really watch these, especially the horseshoe. Just see what it's like, you know. And I mean, we've seen it in the SEC and whatever factors come in and teams are gonna have to play and get through it. But the one thing about the Big Ten is they've been working out. I'm real interested, and I think it's very smart to play it safe, even though I'm putting two games out there. But I like the over in Penn State. I'll probably just put that at one unit. So I got one unit on Iowa, one unit on the over Penn State at Indiana. I got two units on Texas. And then my last play, so just so people know, there's some 9:30 games. I'm really looking at San Diego State and Fresno, and I like this Wyoming team this year. Pardon me. So I'll put stuff out on Twitter on that. But I'm also going to take Texas Tech. I like getting the 3, 3.5 there versus West Virginia. Texas Tech is a spot for them. They're in dire need for a win. West Virginia's had two straight home games. They're going on the road. That's a trek for them to get to Lubbock. Give me Texas Tech at the points. That's going to be a two-unit play as well. So I'm putting out there six units on four different games there in the college ranks.
Okay. Good stuff. NFL, I know that you like the NFL this week. Again, I'm sticking with my trend. I'm just not crazy about any of these yet. I'm sure I'll change my tune. You know, the one game that kind of stood out to me, I'm just looking for bounce back situations where you might have an overreaction. You know, Cleveland, your Browns stuck out to me on the road at Cincinnati. Cincinnati played really well last week. A lot of people are hyping them up. I feel like Cleveland would maybe be the play if that. I don't know what that line is at right now. If it's 3.5 or if it's at 3.
3.5.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm crazy about it at 3.5. If that would get down to 3, that would be a take for me. Probably.
Sorry, it's at 3 now. Yeah. I just refreshed 3. Yeah,
it's at 3 at minus 118. Not crazy about that number, but I you know, we're sensing a theme with Cleveland where they, when they play the good teams, they get throttled like you predicted last week. When they play the not so good teams, they look like a good team.
Yep.
You know, they're going to be focused here in this one. The Bengals gave them everything they wanted at home earlier in the, I'll give out Cleveland at minus 3. How about
love
that?
It.
How about that for my NFL play this week?
No, it's a really good spot and good pickup. Now, the only thing I'd say is watch. You know, people will say that Baker is kind of questionable with his ribs. He did not look good against Pittsburgh, and that was an easy spot to nail. I mean, that was easy. But this is definitely, for me, probably that second tier of, you know, I'm going to wait till Sunday and see what goes on. But to me, Cleveland is the play. And if they are the team that they've shown to be the first six games, this is definitely a win.
Would you play it now? At 3?
You know, you get it at 3, you're minus 118. So they're telling you, hey, this could go back to 3.5 where it's a little less juice. Yeah, I mean, three's a pretty good number to get and be good on. I don't see this. It doesn't look on based on the juice that it's going to move to 2.5. If anything, it could move to 3.5. So I would definitely get on a 3 number if you like it now. Quite frankly, the 3.5 doesn't freak me out if it's that way on Sunday. And I know Baker's starting because I just think they're the better team. And that, you know, Cincinnati is good, but they're not. I don't think Mixon is playing. I think get the 3 now, but I'm not worried about 3.5 on Sunday personally.
Okay. I'm going to take your advice. That would be my lone NFL play that I can give out right now. The Cowboys are interesting to me against Washington.
Yep.
I mean, Dallas.
Big line move in that game, dude. That started Dallas minus 3, and now it's Dallas minus 1. That line has moved. Yesterday it was, I wrote this down. Yesterday it was Washington minus 1, and now it's Dallas minus 1.
That's interesting to me. I think that they're bad, but I don't think that they're nearly as bad as the entire country saw on Monday Night Football.
You gotta be careful of that, right? I mean, the NFL is starting to play out. It's like you can't look at the NFL as in terms of really. Last week is just a data point. It's not the data. Let me put it that way. You can't just die on the hill that, oh, what I saw last week is transpire next week. You can't do it.
More is Seattle. For the same reason. I mean, I think a lot of people are probably drinking the Arizona Cardinals Kool-Aid right now, and rightfully so. I mean, they've been good, but it's still Russell Wilson and Seattle.
Off a bye, Chris. That's probably my second strongest play of the week.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I like Seattle in this spot. 3 o'clock game coming off a bye. Arizona went into Dallas, and if it could go wrong for Dallas, it did. You had 2 Zeke fumbles. You had an interception that was a PI, blatant PI, and then you had another pick. So you had 4 turnovers. Kyler Murray, I bet the prop, him over rushing, that was done in the first quarter. He ran the ball really well. He only completed 9 passes. One of them was to Christian Kirk for like 80 yards. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on with Arizona. I think Seattle goes in and wallops them this week. So, and I'm not doing a lot of straight up plays. Although last week, I think I was 3-0 in my straight up plays. I would put Seattle, and that will be a pick of mine that I'll release. I love Seattle in this spot.
All right. What else? That's all I got on the NFL. What else you got? You got anything else?
Gotcha. Yeah. So when I look at Stanford Wong, kind of, it's been funny because in terms of teasers, Washington and Dallas have been kind of hopping in and out of the spot. I really would rather have Washington in this spot. And now that they're plus one, you can tease them up to seven. I'd wait and see on that. If you can get this Dallas money steaming in, if it, you know, you can get 1.5 and go above seven, it's not officially in that spot now. But what I started doing is looking at the narrative, like you said. So most people are going to look at the NFL and say, Green Bay just got their, all right, they're back. This is it. But you know what? That's the story of Aaron Rodgers. If you listen to Colin Cowherd, he made a really good point. Like, Rodgers is not a really good come from behind quarterback. Whereas Mahomes, I mean, that guy's a genius. He got down. He threw his third pick six ever in that game. They look like crap. Tampa Bay was coming off of that. Tom Brady holding up four fingers. That was a Tampa Bay spot, right? I had them in teasers. Then, by the way, did I mention if it weren't for New England, I would have gone like completely
brutal.
Oh,
don't complain. Oh! It's a good week.
Oh, such a good week.
I was on New England too, heavy. So,
yeah, I like Green Bay coming back on this game. I think
the Vikings are done, man.
Do you think so?
Against good teams, like I don't know. Part of me, like, here's the deal: they're not as bad as everybody is making them out to be, including myself. Like, they're rot, but they're so depleted injury wise. And I just last week, I kind of thought that the Falcons would bounce back from firing their coach. I mean, that tends to be a pretty usual thing in the NFL. I don't know, though. Like, the Vikings, it just seems like their team morale is just shot. The only thing is they do have some leadership in that, you know, Cousins and Thielen and those guys. Like, they, but, like, the thing is, Todd, like, on defense, like, all their good players are hurt, especially up front.
And they're young. Young in the defensive backfield too, right? I mean, that's where they where they saved a lot of money.
Other than Harrison Smith. So it's like I don't think it's against the Packers. Now, they could do some damage in the back half of that schedule and really ruin like their draft pick and stuff like that. Could totally see that happening, but I don't think it's this week.
Yeah, Green Bay, listen, so you talked about the coach thing, and it is very smart, and you'd be 2-0 already this year in the NFL if you bet on the teams that fired their coach the following week. So you had Romeo Crennel and the Texans. They crushed Jacksonville. Last week, Atlanta went in and just steamrolled. Now, the week after is when you start fading them. So here's a good example. So Houston goes into Tennessee, has that game in hand, and decides to go for two. And Tennessee comes back and performs a miracle comeback. That's bad coaching, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
That is bad coaching. And I would say I'm looking at the same thing for Detroit's going to be in some teasers for me at getting 2.5 in Atlanta, because you can tease them up through the 3 and through the 7. Actually, through the 8 as well, which is a big number. Pardon me. So, you know, look to fade the Falcons this week. But Green Bay at Houston, I'm going to fade Romeo Crennel. It's only 3.5 points. I believe that a lot of that line is based off of last week, and the betting is based off of last week with Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite NFL pick so far this week, with Seattle being second. And then the third, and I will have teasers that I'll put these out. The third, I'm really looking hardcore at San Francisco at New England. New England had a tough time against Denver, which they shouldn't have. Their defense did just fine. But this is shaping up to be, if New England's for real and Belichick is who we think he is, minus 1.5 is pretty darn tasty at home against the Niners coming across country.
Totally with you on this one.
Yeah, it's, and if they don't win this, I will say this. Say San Fran comes in and win this, I think it's time to start fading the Patriots. But to me, this spot makes sense. They had a ton of COVID issues. They weren't able to practice. It was totally discombobulated. Cam came in late in the week. Cam hasn't been as awesome as people think. I mean, I think he's maybe got a couple touchdowns, and that was against Seattle. San Francisco can cause some havoc. but I just look for them to really bounce back this week. So that would be my third just straight up play. And then I will release this teaser to the pod right now. This is totally unconventional, so take it for what it's worth. I've taken teams that are going to win either way. So I've got a three-team teaser for the Chargers, the Buffalo Bills, Flacco, Darnold, I don't care who starts, and then Philadelphia. So if you're going to tease Philadelphia, which is playing tonight, so you're going to tease that up to +1.5 against the Giants. The Giants are actually really good as a road team, getting 4.5 points. It's kind of a tasty little bet. I think who you got is falling on the Eagles. I'll have to check that afterwards. But I like Philly to win this game. You don't just go at home and almost beat frickin' Baltimore. They almost tied that game against Baltimore. I don't care how many injuries Philly has. This team is scrappy. If I get them at 1.5, Buffalo at -7.5, and the Chargers at -1.5, that's a teaser I implore everybody to play. Put a little money on that bad boy.
Okay.
And then you have a little interest in tonight's game if you don't like it either way.
Yeah, there you go.
Those are my four. And then I have about 15 other teasers I'm weighing through.
Jesus, Todd, get a life.
Oh, it's too much, man.
I really am enjoying playing fewer games.
It's probably the way to go.
Honestly, like I don't know, maybe I'm getting old. Am I getting old?
No, I mean, but you start watching the NFL. Like, I like these teasers, even though
what I do every year, though, and right or wrong or indifferent, but I end up picking these specific teams that I'm interested in. I watch a lot. Like Cleveland is a team I've been betting a lot this year.
Yeah, I think we won almost every week. Except, I mean, even week one, we were kind of Cleveland. Eh.
Yeah.
But then on, I think I've won 5 weeks in a row.
You know, I did that. Like, there was a couple years ago where I got on the Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern, and I bet them every week. And I think I ended up, like, going, like, 9-2 on them that year or whatever. Like, I tend to fall into that. I don't know. We'll see how it develops.
You get a read on a team and a feel for the team. Either way, that's good.
BYU's my team this year. BYU and Tulane. I feel like we've bet BYU and Tulane a lot.
Frickin' Tulane. Oh, man. BYU is 28.5 over Texas State.
Play it.
I mean,
blindly play BYU over Texas.
I'm going to give out a ton of winners in the NFL. I just tell you, I feel really good about my college. Todd feels
good. He feels good. All right. We'll be back next week. Follow us on Twitter at Action Fanatics. And Todd's always populating that feed. Thanks to our sponsors, the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wild Rose Casino. And that's all I got
for you. Good luck.
Good luck, everybody. Thanks for listening.